Your assembly fellowship. This is the first time I'm going to share what the Lord is doing in and through us for the last 36 years. Amazing experience in the Lord's work. A different line of ministry, but I'm going to present to you this morning a missionary-oriented ministry. The call of God, the discipleship, and the truth about the local assembly and the ministry among the elderly flock of God. A small beginning in my teenage, at the age of 18, when I was to become a Roman Catholic priest, God saved my soul and called me for his glorious work and made me a royal priest. My wife also come from the same background, and we are blessed with two darling daughters, Casey and Karen. And as for me and my house, we continue to serve the Lord. We read in the book of Job chapter 8, verse number 7, "Though thy beginning was small, yet that thy end should greatly increase." It was very true when we think of the great servant of God, Job, for we read in the book of Job, chapter 42, verse number 12, "The Lord blessed the later end of Job better than his beginning." What we can expect from an 18 years old boy, but what God can do when we are in the hands of the Lord. There are a couple of brethren who knows me right from 1980s. Healthy Apachan, we call George Matthew, Brother George Matthew, and Sister Rainey, who have seen me from the beginning, and good to see them here in fellowship with the saints in this assembly. And we used to meet very often, and some of the pictures they may able to recognize when they see. And so the Lord is able. That which is little is what God take for unveiling his glory. We read in the book of Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 5 and 6. There we read, "Behold, the babe wept." The tears of a baby boy is what God did take to turn the destiny of the nation of Israel. Tears. "Behold, the babe wept." You come to chapter 3 of Exodus and verse number 2, there we have an ordinary bush. A bush. That is what God did chose to unveil his awesome presence before his servant Moses. You come to chapter 4 of Exodus, verse number 2, there we have a rod. And further down in verse number 20, we read, "Not a rod, but the rod of God." The rod became a rod of God. So that which is insignificant, that which is a little, that which is small, is what God takes in his wondrous grace and prepare day by day for accomplishing his great purpose. When we come to the New Testament, for example, we see in chapter 2 of John Gospel, we have the introductory messianic sign our Lord performed in Cana of Galilee. It should be done in a significant place like Jerusalem, with 35 acres of land, with a multitude. But ordinary place like Cana of Galilee, what God did chose for commencing his messianic ministry with a divine purpose of the manifestation of the glory. And so we read in the Epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26, "Brethren, behold your calling." Why God called such a way? That we may not glory in what we are, but save in the cross of Christ. In the cross of Christ. And so God picked me up when I was 18 years old, and the Lord began to use me for his glory. I was thrown out of my house when I got saved because it was low grading for my family to consider a man who's supposed to go for the priesthood, leaving the family and the religion and going to a community where Catholic identify low-class community who stand in the street and preach the gospel. I used to hate them in ignorance. And the Lord saved me and began to use me for his glory. All while I had 10 years of education in my mother tongue, Malayalam, I never knew any language. And the first Bible was what I was given, authorized version, KJV Bible. I knew this is holy word. With reverence, I used to read like a small kid. Like a small kid. We read in the Epistle, Romans chapter 1, verse number 2, Holy Scripture. Epistle 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, Holy Scripture. So we must handle Scripture with reverence, isn't it? I remember in my religion, Catholic religion, where we used to consider the Word of God as a holy book. And with all humility and reverence, we used to take it and read. We who know the true and living God and know the Scripture, how careful we should handle the Holy Scripture. I have amazing experience with this wonderful book of God. Amazing experience. And so with reverence, early in the morning at 4 o'clock, I kneel down and read the Scripture. All what I have, the Word of God is what God gifted to us. And nothing. The greatest university in this world is this wonderful book of God. And all universities stand below this university. And so we have great burden. And we prepare children and young people. I have no Bible school, neither Bible college. But I have innumerable Bible students of different nationalities. The work in India, the ministry among children and the young people, and the ministry among servants of God, ministry among the aged flock. Children and aged are dependable. They need help. And these are my Bible students whom I bring them up along with me. And these are a group of Bible students, and we have them in Andhra Pradesh. And these are young people whom I put them on discipleship, and a group of people in Vasai. And this is all my friends are Amachis and Apachans who are bedridden. I visit them, sing song with them, read scripture and pray with them. And there are a number of them, just few of them here. And George Matthew Apachan knows her next door, a 90 years old Amachi. And I visit her every Friday. I leave home 4 o'clock in the morning. And I get back in the midnight, the same day after visiting her. I visit a depression patient and a backsliding family. I have bridging ministry. What is left out or thrown out, I go out of the way and visit them, spend time with them, pray with them. And slowly, slowly, with much prayer, bring them along with me and get them back to God and the Word of God. There's Amachi is living above the assembly hall, and when Apachan is with the Lord, her husband, well, I was able to associate with them, and Apachan here, George Matthew, right from 1983. And when her husband was bedridden 16 days, I could stay with him in the night and look after him in the hospital. During day, his son stayed with him. And Amachi is left behind, and the son look after Punjabi, our brother and sister. And here is a man who was an alcoholic. used to fall on the street. I never seen a man begging for alcohol. He's an East Indian, come from Catholic background, me and my wife, and he begged for alcohol right from morning at 5 o'clock until midnight. And I go to his house at 4:30. Wherever he go, I go with him and stop him drinks. Finally got him admitted in hospital, tied him with the rope, and he was screaming. I was just 20 years. I took him, and he stayed with me. And then began to work with him. Miraculously, the Lord saved him, got him baptized, taught him, became an elder in the assembly. And now he stepped down because he's old and frailing, and we have great relationship with him. A group of workers, Brother David knows, he comes from the same land, Andhra Pradesh, the best people on this earth to work with. Andhraites. And me and my family, we have 45 servants of God and 5 widows and 2 poor students. We take care of them and attend them and extend what God provides practically. And these are not generally known, neither they come to this land, but they pray for you all. What God provides, we share with them. One of my co-worker, I believe Dev Sahaya must be here. He had been here. And so this work commenced way back in 1915 with a missionary called Silas Fox, with whom associated the local brother called K.P. Agrippa, and his great-granddaughter is there in that picture with the sari. And it is since 2009 I associate with this work. These are a group of servants of God in Palakkad district, which is Hindu religious oriented district. And we have workers, and we have them coming home. This is my home in Thrissur. And my mother is a Catholic lady. She opened the door and treat them once in a year, and we have fellowship with them. The Lord opened the door to South Africa, the mission in South Africa. One of my students, 18 months old child, Uzziah, South African Indian, my student. And he will say biblical vocabulary, redemption, salvation, sanctification, like that we teach small children. And then Bible words. 180 years ago, British took Indians from India to work in sugarcane farm. And after India, you would see more Indian in a state called, a province, KwaZulu-Natal. And the city is Durban. And we have an assembly where people come from Hindu background mostly. And the assembly started on 4th December 2016. And my students, Caleb and Wesley, and these are some students in a freedom work, children whom I bring along with me, 3 hours drive from Cape Town. And we have this one of my students whom I brought up over the years. And he is able to minister God's word right from age 18. C.J. Govender in KwaZulu-Natal, South African Indian. A group of young people whom I brought up over the years in Port Elizabeth. And all my students are actively going on in the respective local assembly. My co-workers in a place called Hermanus, in a district of Overberg, 4 hours drive from Cape Town, and we have them in Hermanus. A group of couple with the children, how to raise children and how to romance their better half. And so I had workshop in Johannesburg. And this is group of Indians come from Hindu background, gathering together in a place called Lemesi in KwaZulu-Natal. This is an assembly in Freedom Work. The Lord's Supper. The Lord opened the door in Australia, and the ministry continued for the last 20 years. My eldest daughter with a young child, Lucy. And here is my daughter with another 2 girls and children. These are my students in a place called Tasmania. Discipleship program with the small children. He is an Indian in Sydney. I met him when he was 11 years old and taught him. And at the age of 19, he was gifted in the ministry. Not only in his home assembly, he got invited by the neighboring assembly. Literature ministry has a history of 36 years. We used to import, now we publish. Back in India, we did a research among Indian brethren and we found we lost 45% of believers from the assembly fellowship. It's a great loss. To win one soul, we know what a struggle, how much we have to labor. 45% of brethren have been lost from the assembly fellowship, gathering in wrong place, some are not going, no conviction. Many are assembly people by tradition, fourth, fifth generation Christian, but not by conviction. Conviction. Nowhere near the assembly and no understanding of the house of God, the dwelling place of God. If people know the beauty of this local assembly, they will live and die for it. A place where God dwells in grace and blessing and in holiness, where people like you and me, ordinary, brought by the wondrous grace and seated at the table with the Lord in fellowship, can be wanted. How much we treasure this place. How much we value this place. And being burdened, I published a book, having read many, many books on the assembly principle and practice, The Gathering Unto His Name by Norman Crawford. 3 weeks ago, he went to be with the Lord, and one of the excellent Bible teachers in English world, one of the major work he has done, the expository commentary on Luke Gospel. And so I was burdened, and it is amazing, 10 Indian families in Ireland were praying for years to publish this book. I never knew them. You see the way the Lord answers prayer. But back in India, God put the burden into my heart, and I published 2,500 copies, and no cost, and reaching every assembly home, every believer's family. Anyone who is a burden to have, no cost, you can give your name to Dr. Sam Mathai. Any number of copies we can ship to you. It is my burden to bring out doctrinal book and make available for generation. You see, the house of God has a pattern. In the Old Testament, it is a physical structure. We read in the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verse number 8 and 9, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to the pattern I have given. And God is so specific about the pattern. And so we read in the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verse number 40, he made it very clear to Moses, the pattern I have showed thee upon the mount. And we read in chapter 39 of Exodus, not less than 10 times Moses did according to the commandment of the Lord. You come to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, verse number 11, we have a father and son. Father is taking the pattern and handing over to his son. David gave the pattern unto his son Solomon. From where David got? Verse number 19. He received in writing from God. He did not add to the pattern. He did not remove from the pattern. As it is, handed over to his son. And so parents are most influential teachers on this earth. It is a responsibility to hand over the pattern unto their darling children. And so we find in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse number 1, Solomon began to build. And chapter 5 verse number 1, the work of the house was finished. Verse number 14, the glory of the Lord fell in the house of the Lord. The Lord honored both father and the son. We cannot change the pattern. It is physical structure in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, spiritual. We have the pattern in the New Testament.
When you look at the epistle 1 Corinthians and the epistle 1 Timothy, these two epistles are known as assembly-oriented, lovely epistle. When you come to the epistle 1 Timothy chapter 3, you have three houses. Verse 1 to 7, a house of an elder. Verse 7 to 13, another house, house of a deacon. Verse number 13 and 14, we have the house of God. And there is a prominent word. What is that? Rule. An elder rule well his house. A deacon rule well his house. Third house, God's house. Whose rule? God's rule. That takes us back to the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse number 16 and 17. The gate of heaven. Bringing to us the administration of heaven is what supposed to be implemented in the house of God. We cannot violate the rule, the house of God. The rule of the house of God. And so we find children having got the pattern. Parents lost the pattern. Fourth, fifth generation. Name and fame and tradition. But nowhere near the assembly. And so we have many in Australia in wrong place. And so here in America, we lost them. That is why we work with children and young people. All what we have on this earth are darling children. If we lose them, we lost everything. God expects us to see at least three generations, isn't it? The book of Psalm number 128, verse number 6. You shall see your children's children. It is not just a husband and a wife get married. Well, good, it is for good. But God, right from eternity, has a plan and a purpose. And so from day one of marriage, they must begin to work to see that third generation. There are parents here, grandparents here. They have great joy to see their third generation. And what is the strategy? Back in India, once in a year, one camp. Send the children to camp. And the camp, in the camp, the children get saved. Then what? Two class on baptism. And then receive into fellowship. Finish. Doesn't work. We find in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse number 18 onwards, when we look at, we have the mandate of discipleship. And God expects those who believe on Him supposed to be the disciple of Christ. Make them disciple. And then we read, baptize them, verse number 19. And then more teaching. Nothing outside, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And we are not alone. The Lord is with us. Lo, I am with you always till the end of the world. Emmanuel, God with us. So make disciples. And that is what we do. Not 100 children, 200, 300. 1, 2, 3 sitting around the table and bring them along with us in God's word. Visiting them. And that is not taking place. Who are the disciples? Disciples are those who are with the master. Disciples are those who learn from the master. Disciples are those who are not separated from the master. Disciples are those who are obedient to the master. Disciples are those who follow the master. Disciples are those who live like the master. Disciples are those who make others disciples. Multiplication. This is where we have problems. How sad. And so we are losing. 24 hours. Can't we find time to study one verse? I tell my student, don't read your Bible. But study the Bible. Study the Bible. When you study, get registered in your mind. Remain in your heart. One verse a day. What is required? Regularity. That's living in touch with the heaven. Entrance of the word of God giveth light. One verse a day. So you have in a month 30 verses. In a year you have 365 verses. What I am pointing out, regularity. That is why master and disciple are not separated. They are always together. Then we will never lose them. So number one. Number two, the divine strategy we find what our forefathers implemented or followed back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 29. Oh, that they were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep my commandment all the days of your life, that it may be well with you and well with your children forever. You see? So husband, wife, having a heart not for 2 hours on the Lord's day, a heart without reservation, thus loving the Lord with all your heart, a heart for building an altar from day one of marriage, a place where God meets with his people. And thus we bring children, get them acquainted with the altar. Two altar, altar at home, altar in the house of God. Like Samuel of old, bringing them along with us in God's word and bringing them in the house of God, getting them acquainted with the house of God and the priestly ministry, and they will never give up this place. They will never give up. It is not the university that can make our children. I am not against education. We should sacrifice and educate them. But beloved, we read in God's word, it is in the hands of God to make people great. For example, 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 12, we read, both riches and honor come of thee, and it is in thine hand to make people great. And so, great is our burden. We published this book, and now we are translating into Malayalam, Tamil, and Telugu, 3 languages. Great is our burden to hand over the pattern. We cannot change. When we look at the New Testament, we find the pattern. For example, we read in the Epistle 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23, as I received of the Lord. Then chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 3. First of all, that which I received of the Lord, deliver unto you. And above that, in verse number 14, chapter 14, we read, I write unto you, what I write unto you, these are the commandments of the Lord. The beauty of the local assembly. We read in the Epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 4. When you come together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Our brother remembered at the breaking of bread, the name of the Lord. We read 7 times in the Epistle Corinthians in relation to the local gathering together. The name. Do we know that name? High and lifted one. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1. The lofty one, Isaiah chapter 57, verse number 15. Thus saith the Lord of hosts that inhabiteth in eternity, whose name is holy. Unto that name we come together. Therefore, let us go forth unto him, bearing his reproach without the camp. We are gathered together unto him. The very person, the name represent the very person, and the very presence of the Lord, the dwelling presence of the Lord is in our midst. And so the presence of the Lord make the place glorious and of holiness. And that the very place linked to heaven, and the heaven is open to us, and the angels are descending and ascending and taking notice of all what is happening here. How can we give up this place? That is why the young man, Joshua, we read in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse number 11, he did not depart from the tabernacle. Young man, why? His master Moses left, but he continued. He valued that place. He knew this is the place God communicated with his master Moses. He knew this is the place where was the presence of the Lord. He valued that place because he knew the glory of the Lord fell in the tabernacle. And so he did not depart. He continued. And those who abide in the house of the Lord, we read in the book of Psalm 36, verse number 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of the house of God, and he will make them to drink from the pleasures of his rivers. Here in the house of God. So precious in the sight of God, all what the Lord has on this earth, the church which he loved and for which he gave himself and for which is coming soon. Do you know the glory of this very place? The glory of the church of God? We read in the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse number 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Who is she so clear as the sun and fair as the moon? The church of God. Night is far spent, the morning is about to be dawned. The church will come out of darkness and will be presented as glorious church without a wrinkle or a spot unto him. And so we read the glory again in the book of Revelation chapter 21, verse number 10 and 11. He carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, showed me that city of God, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Verse number 11, having the glory of God. The glory of God. How do we value this place? And so, with great burden, we are working in different line and then building the libraries in different places over the years we built. And now I am responsible for building 3 libraries. Already commenced 1 library in a small way in Angamali, and we are going to support with more books. A couple of years ago, I met a young man whom I brought up and encouraged, and the assembly was well convinced, and I was with all the assemblies in Angamali in May in South India, Kerala, and again in December I am going to be with all the young people of Angamali for teaching them and bringing them along with me in God's word. And so building up library, we have so many assemblies in Mumbai, and so we have great burden to build 1 library in Mumbai and another library we are working towards building in South Africa. Great is our burden. A little is what God takes. 1 word evangelism. Do you know the story, Eternity? There's a man called Mr. Eternity. Mr. Eternity. Way back in, several years ago, I have the date here, on 6th August 1930. On 6th August 1930, Mr. Arthur Stace, a beggar, alcoholic, poor, went to the assembly on the Lord's Day evening for getting a cup of coffee and a piece of raw cake. They supply after gospel preaching a drink and a bite. And this man went to the jail prison several times with old suit, torn suit. He went there and used to go every Sunday. And that particular Sunday on 9th August 1930, the preacher shouted. The message was from Isaiah chapter 57, verse number 15, based on eternity. Where will you spend your eternity? And that one word, eternity, did strike the heart of Mr. Arthur Stace. He walked towards Sydney University Park, where under the fig tree, he knelt down and cried, "Lord, have mercy on me." And he got saved by one word. The next 37 years, remarkable years in the life of this ordinary man who never knew how to write, how to read, but he learned how to write eternity. Everyone go to office in the morning and they see on the boundary wall and on the road the word eternity is written. After midnight, Mr. Arthur Stace rise up and began to write. Much later, a photographer found him writing and taken a picture, and I have that picture back home. 37 years he went on writing. One word evangelism. How many words you have? He's gone to be with the Lord. The story never ends. Midnight, 1st January 2000, Sydney Council, Whale Harbour Bridge, and when the midnight passed, and the 1st January was dawn,
They unveiled the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Great multitude gathered to see the fireworks. And they saw the word eternity written with a bulb. One poor alcohol beggar whom God saved. And the story never ends. 1st January 2000. All over the world, the headline was this picture. Even back in India, the great one of the best paper is a leading paper called Times of India. The headline was this picture. A little, but much when God is in it. How many words we have? How many years since we are Christian? How many people with whom we share the gospel, and how many children and young people we could bring up? Handful at least. At least two young people along with us. It's my family. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Great is our vision, brethren. 36 years, God used us. Amazing experience. What we read in God's word, we can prove. We have no trust, no fun, no appeal, nothing. This is the first time in my life I am showing something, because some people ask me to do that. And I haven't attached with the work in New Zealand. And so remember us in your prayers. May the Lord be your sun and shield, and he will show grace and glory. And he will never withhold any good thing from you as you continue going on in testimony. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we draw nigh to thee in thanksgiving, giving thanks for the gift of thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is our joy, the one who is our life, the one who is our strength, the one who is our hope. Christ, the hope of glory, dwelleth in us. He is not far from us. He is on the way, about to arrive. And when in glory, dressed in beauty, and when we stand before him looking back over the history of our life on this earth, what we shall say? O Lord, while we are here, some work out of love may we do, in appreciation of all what he has done for us. Make our life like for witness and worship unto thee. We thank thee for the assembly testimony here. The saints in fellowship, young and old lamb, remember them for good. In particular, we pray for the aged and children and grandchildren, so precious. We bear them tenderly before thee, seeking thy good hand or blessing may rest upon. Save their soul for eternity. None should perish, but come to the everlasting life. Make them, Lord, thy disciple. May they get established in the most holy faith. Glory for thy name. That which we offered as an assembly, collectively in priestly capacity, may it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, we pray, in expectation of thy coming. We ask giving thanks in the name and for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.